Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking a little NBA right now. Going out to the SDCCU fan hotline, joining us from NBC Sports, Kurt Helin, good friend of the show, good NBA guy. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm doing well. You know, nice quiet time of year for me. Get to put my feet up, relax, nothing going on.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks, Kurt. We'll talk to you next week when something breaks. Today seemed like a really good day for the Lakers because they parted with three players that they don't want, and by doing that, they're able to open up more cap space. I was just talking with Tony about this.
Yes, why, I'm glad you're asking him this.
Yeah, why do other teams... It's not that I don't understand why the Lakers did this. I totally get it. I mean, they want to open up the cap space so that they can sign a max player. But why are they able to find another team out there that's willing to take three mediocre players just so that the Lakers can open up the cap space? That's kind of where I'm coming from here. I see this throughout the league all the time. Like, good teams say, I need to dump some players, and there's always a team out there that'll take those dumped players.
In the first case, in this specific case, it is the Wizards we're talking about, right? So realize, we're talking about a team that literally does not have a GM right now. They've got a guy in the interim role who may end up with a job full-time, but they have really messed up that whole search, and it really, I think it just speaks to the Wizards organization. So there's a little of that going on. There's two other things. They do get a second-round pick, in 2022 or whatever, but they pick up a pick, which is, you know, it's a sweetener. Also, they're higher on Mo Wagner than you would think. They had him higher on their boards last year. They kind of liked him more than a lot of teams. So they get a swing at a player that they kind of liked for taking on some salary that's not that big a deal to them.
Okay. So they get a player that might be okay. The Lakers are going to get a player who's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. It just seems like such an equal trade. And Tony's laughing because he loves every second of this because it's all going to his Lakers. That's why.
Kurt, I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, Rob Pelinka, because for a little bit there, people were like dancing on his grave. Like, he was the worst GM, bad guy, but quietly, it would seem that he's been able to get this Anthony Davis deal complete. When right after that deal was complete, then people were criticizing him because he didn't, you know, take the time to make sure he could get the space that was needed. Now this happens. What's your read on all this? Was it more that these things fell into his lap, or does he deserve a little credit for actually getting to this point and getting a meeting with Kawhi Leonard?
He deserves credit for that. Like, now, how much of that was Rich Paul pulling some strings and some other things kind of falling to him? You know, hey, that happens to every GM. Like, look, you've got to find a way to work with these things to a degree. Like, every agent's got to work every GM's got to work with agents. You got to find ways to make it happen. The bottom line is, he's captain of the ship, and on his watch, they have landed Anthony Davis. They have got a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. However that goes, they at least got their foot in the door. They have the cap space to land a max guy. He has managed this well enough, man. He's made it happen one way or another. My book is still out on him a little bit. Let's just say that there was, forget what other teams and other people say about him. You don't have to do that. You can just go off the evidence of last year's team building to say, yeah, he's going to have to prove to me he can
Touché.
Build out or wrong.
Touché.
Yeah, you know. But so far, so good this summer. So far, he has put them in the right position. I'll ask you this, though. If you're Rob Pelinka, and I mean, A, you've got spectacular hair now, but you're Rob Pelinka.
You're right. I got terrific hair. Let's keep talking. I like this.
Do you use that? I mean, you chase Kawhi Leonard, but if you don't get him, do you use that money to get one guy and go after Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, whoever you're going to chase? Or do you spread that around and go get two or three good role players?
If it's me and Kawhi Leonard says no, I'm going Clippers or Raptors, I'm spreading it out. I just watched Toronto. Despite Golden State, I know they were hurt, But that seemed like a better form, an easier formula, honestly, to try to beat and win a championship. And that's the way I would go. I know some people are adamant about just filling that spot with a max. If it ain't Kawhi Leonard, I'm all for spreading it out and just getting two or three really good players.
See, I'm with you. First off, and I'll tell you guys this, but I think I've said this on your show before. I've written it for a year now. I heard going back to last summer, Kawhi really is not going to be a Laker. Like, right. That's just joining a super team and the fishbowl and spotlight that is the Lakers, even before LeBron. Just that's just kind of not – there's more drama and a little more chaos than he would prefer. My guess is that he doesn't go. But I'm with you. Look, Laker fans, this is really easy. You know, it's great if you've got Shaq and Kobe.
Right.
Who's your Derek Fisher? Who's your Robert Horry? You can't win a title, and you nailed it with this year's finals. If you build a top-heavy team, you better have everything go right.
Right.
I mean, that was the best top-heavy team ever, and yeah, they won a title last year because everything went right. This year they didn't because injuries started to catch up with them. Kawhi Leonard was not 100% in that finals. I mean, he was still the best player. He was the MVP. I'm not about to take that away from him. He was not 100%. He was not as explosive as he was in the earlier rounds. He was kind of – his style of play still gets it done, but they didn't need him to be that explosive because they still had Fred VanVleet, and they had Serge Ibaka, and they had Danny Green. By the way, Danny Green's available. But you've got to have Marc Gasol. Like, you've got to have those guys, maybe guys who can't make the plays every night, but once or twice in a seven-game series can give you those moments and get you over the top.
It's depth, yeah.
All right, Kurt Heelan is with us from NBC. You guys are having a great little discussion about the Lakers here. I'm here to bust it all up because I disagree with both of you guys, and it's not to take you on in any way, shape, or form, but I'm just looking back at the history of the league, and it seemed to me that, I mean, going all the way back to the 80s, the Celtics had their front line of Bird, Parrish, and Dennis Johnson, and that, and the rest of the guys that were on that team, they were different every year. Yet the Celtics were one of the top teams in the league. The Lakers had, we go to the Shaq and Kobe thing, you mentioned Ori, you mentioned Fisher. They had a dozen guys like that. They were all over the place. The Chicago Bulls had Jordan and Pippen and Rodman and 10 guys who once in a while contributed. One year it was Paxson, one year it was Bobby Hansen, one year it was Steve Kerr.
Right.
So that's my point in the NBA. It seems to me that the Lakers would be better off to get a third superstar. And I only say it because it seems like those are the guys that really win championships for you. And if you get a third superstar, you're going to find five or six other guys that are going to want to come and play for that team. And I think Fred VanVleet's are a dime a dozen. It just so happened that this Fred VanVleet played with a really good Toronto team. So that's my feeling. Tell me how wrong that is. And it's okay if it is wrong.
Look, it's not where I would go, but I will say this. There are plenty of people around the league who make that argument. That, look, they're still going to get – I mean, I'll tell you who they can – I'll tell you three names I bet they land this summer. Kyle Korver. J.R. Smith has yet to be let go. J.R. Smith will soon be a free agent.
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel. Now, those are the kind of guys you're going to get on the minimum contracts, but you can get some guys – Nerlens Noel, by the way – probably a minimum contract guy. Coincidentally, Rich Paul client.
Mm.
But those are the kind of guys you can get, but might be able to, again, like you said, you just got to get them to pitch in here and there and do well enough. So we'll see. I've heard a lot of people argue that within teams, within the league, like, man, it's all about the top end talent. The other guys can be replaced. I just think they've already got two of the top seven players. And honestly, in Anthony Davis, probably the best running mate in terms of fit LeBron James has ever had. With all due respect to Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, you know what he is? He is Chris Bosh in that he can pop out, he can defend, he can protect the rim, he can do all this. He's just literally better at everything. Like, he's just a better version of Chris Bosh at everything. And he's going to be a great fit. That let me tell you what, that 4-5 LeBron James pick and roll with Anthony Davis is borderline unstoppable if you put shooters around them.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is Chris Bosh with guard skills like Anthony Davis has.
Yeah, exactly.
Kurt, let me ask you, there's obviously a lot of questions about where the main guys are going to go. When it's all said and done, do you think we see the top, you know, five free agents in brand new spots?
Oh, no, I think it's going to be a little more – well, I shouldn't say that. I think there will be a little more – guys staying at home than maybe some people think. Yeah. Although I'm becoming less sure of that by the day. I will say this. Klay Thompson's not going anywhere. I feel good about that one. After that,
yeah.
There was a while where I thought Durant might stay for a little bit. I'm more and more hearing that's not the case. That whatever New York team or maybe the Clippers sneak in, he's probably on the move. Kyrie Irving, I thought would stay for a while. Now, let's just say that bridge isn't even burned. That's like bridge over the river Kwai. That thing is just blown to smithereens.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
dumb.
Exist.
Bridge over the river Kyrie, I believe it's called.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much it is destroyed at this point.
Yeah.
He's probably headed to Brooklyn, but there, things keep he changes his mind a lot, much like Durant. The problem with predicting those guys is what they're thinking today, what they're thinking tomorrow could be different.
Birds of a feather flock together are supposed to be best friends, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they're both in Brooklyn. New York could possibly happen, although honestly, if I were going to choose between those franchises right now,
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's just better set up, man. Better set up with role players like Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie and guys you can put around. Like we were talking about, you can get some guys there right now that can help you. And by the way, James Dolan doesn't own that team, so that's another plus.
That's a big plus. That's a big plus. All right, Kurt, well, I wish we had more time because I have about six more questions. We'll have to get you on the flip side of the free agency this weekend and try to add it all up when it's all said and done. But great insight, as always. Good conversation, good NBA stuff, and enjoy the weekend. And let's see where it all falls.
Thanks, Kurt.
It's going to be a wild week. It's going to be a wild weekend. So, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Thomas.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Do you guys remember yesterday when we talked about in the Big Five President Trump going after Megan Rapinoe of Team USA?
I do.
No. I remember us talking about President Trump going after Megan Rapinoe.
Good point. Just let me live it down.
Good point. We did not talk about Rapinoe. We talked about Rapinoe.
That bothered me all night because I know her name is Rapinoe. No, I've heard it. Yeah.
You did. It was Rapinoe. And if we would have just pretended like we didn't hear it, you would have said it three or four more times.
You're probably right.
Next time he messes up, don't jump in.
That, no.
Well,
let's go let him keep going.
President Trump took to Twitter. That's a shocker, I know. And he went after Megan Rapinoe. But the problem was, he tagged the wrong Megan Rapinoe on Twitter. The person that he tagged is a 21-year-old Starbucks employee.
Poor lady.
She's getting tons of followers.
Took a beating from the president?
That would be pretty awesome. If my phone just popped up.
Yeah, you'd be pretty awesome to have a whole bunch of followers and they're all spewing some type of hate at you.
No, I think it would be crazy for me to just look at my phone. President Trump, at Donald Trump, the real Donald Trump. Is that his name? I don't know. But anyway, I just had to say that because that was hilarious. He tagged a 21-year-old Starbucks employee.
Poor girl checking his things? Just doing her thing at work and all of a sudden her phone's dead.
Yeah.
After she charges it, just a billion messages on there.
Trying to make her chai latte.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Let's get into number five.
Number five.
Did you guys see what happened with Cam Newton on the plane over the weekend, Chris? Did you see this? Well, I completely forgot about this, and I had to bring it up today because he was photographed all over Paris at Men's Fashion Week last week, then was caught on video making a $1,500 offer to switch seats on the flight home and was denied. He actually made two offers. The first offer to this random person on the plane, $1,000 for your seat, sir, in this exit row. Guy said no. This is in coach. He said, all right, $1,500. The guy said no. So the video shows Cam Newton dressed up like and
dressed like Cam Newton.
Dressed like Cam. Great way of putting that. And him sulking back to his coach seat. It's pretty brutal that a 6'5", 250-pound man.
His knees is hurting.
Is going Paris to, I think, like Texas. I think he went to Houston or something.
That's exactly what my man in the X-Row was thinking. Like, I'm not giving up this.
I'm not giving up this seat. Well, the video.
How tall was the guy in the exit row? He might have been 6'7".
He could have been. He could have been, but I don't know.
I feel like Cam wouldn't have asked him if he was 6'7", though.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can't tell how tall somebody is always when they're
That's also true.
Cam actually missed his flight like the day before or something, so this is why he's in coach, because no one in coach believed that this was Cam Newton offering this guy $1,500. The video went viral, 4.5 million views as of yesterday. So, Chris, I'm going to ask you a really simple question.
Okay.
Would you switch seats with Cam Newton for $1,500?
Yes, I would, number one. Number two, who is filming this?
The guy behind. And
why?
Because
people put your phone away.
Well, number one, I mean, he needed to film this. This is an amazing video.
He did not need to film it.
Need with a capital N-E-E-D.
This on video. I cannot believe 4 million people watched it.
4.5.
And ultimately, I cannot believe that Cam Newton didn't walk up and just buy the stupid plane.
No, he couldn't.
And fly it home himself.
He tried. There was multiple. He was ready to spend some money on these seats. There was no seats for him. The only way he could get back home when he needed to.
The only way he could get back home was to sit coach in the way back.
Yep. I think even in the middle, too.
That's hard to
believe. I don't know about the middle, though. But, Tony, would you take the $1,500?
Heck no.
Really?
Not Tony. He gets crazy on these planes.
Paris to San Diego? Are you kidding me? There is no shot. You couldn't pay me enough money to give up an exit row on a flight like that.
That is a nice seat.
Oh, my gosh.
That is
the guy had an envelope and the cash and he just giving it right out to you there?
I mean, if he had the cash in his hand, I'd have to think about it.
You could buy, like, 26 of those little sandwich packs.
But I don't know if I'd make it home before going crazy in the back row back there in the middle seat.
You have to go find this video.
Here's the thing. I would say this, and I kind of agree with Chris. Like, you couldn't wait one more day and see if you could find, like, the next first
class.
That's
hard to believe.
Like, that's what I would have. I'd have stayed in Paris until the first class seat opened up.
Go hire a helicopter or something. Have somebody take you home. There's got to be a way. Hire a cruise ship.
How long is that flight, by the way? Anybody know?
From, like, Paris to Houston, probably around 7-8 hours, maybe 9.
It's a pretty good height.
I took a flight from London to San Francisco. It took us 11 hours. But that was flying against the jet stream. Doesn't matter. This guy, Eli Edwards, is the guy who put it up. And this is going to make you angry. Because he said he put it on Instagram first. Didn't get much traction. So then he put it on Twitter to get traction. So he did exactly what he wanted to do. But he didn't. It wasn't him that turned down the money. Let's go to number four.
Number four.
The Breeders' Cup 14-member board unanimously voted today to keep its 2019 championship races at Santa Anita Park. Races will be run at Santa Anita following a winter-spring season in which 30 horses died as a result of injuries suffered in racing or training, sparking debate about the high-profile Breeders' Cup location. Churchill Downs, host of the 2018 Breeders' Cup, was seen as the backup plan should a move be made, but the LA Times, which first reported today's news, noted that Churchill Downs averaged 2.73 equine fatalities per 1,000 starts last year, whereas Santa Anita was at 2.04 equine fatalities. Tony, should the Breeders' Cup have been moved to a different track?
Okay, I was confused with the whole equine thing and whatever you were trying to say there. If the numbers, what was it, Breeders' Cup, and what was the other place you said?
Churchill Downs.
It sounds like there's just as many horses getting hurt at Churchill Downs as there is at Santa Anita? Is that where it's at?
It's going to be at Santa Anita.
Yeah, I think, listen, this is just a messy situation all in all. And Chris has brought it up on many occasions that the sport might be in jeopardy because of it. So I don't know if it matters where you're moving based on those numbers, because it sounds like horses are getting hurt at a higher number than they've ever been hurt.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Santa Anita's just the one that's taken it on the chin, and it just so happens that that's where the Breeders' Cup is. But you could move the Breeders' Cup anywhere, and you'd still run the risk of horses getting hurt. There's no safe track. There's no horse track out there that's, like, perfectly safe for all of these animals. If you don't want horses to get hurt you're going to have to stop horse racing.
Mm.
That's it.
Word.
Yeah.
Number three.
I want to go back to Cam Newton for a second because I just got a text message.
Oh, good.
I just got a text message asking a much better question than I asked. And the question would be, how much money would it take for you to give up the seat? Chris already said $1,500.
Yeah, $1,500 was fine.
But what would you would ask for $15?
I really probably would ask for about $10 and just
all right.
Be on my way.
Tony, what would you do? Important. What would you ask Cam for?
I wouldn't ask for nothing. I would just kept saying no, and if he wanted to keep going, I wasn't going to stop him.
$3,000.
That might do it.
Might
do it. Listen, I'm talking comfort here on a flight that's really long, and you guys know I don't fly well. It doesn't mean that somebody else who flies well wouldn't give it up for $1,500 or $3,000, whatever it is. I'm worried about losing my mind on the plane is what I'm solely worried about, even if he gives me $3,000.
All right, back to number three. I had to get that out because that was a much better question. Terry Bradshaw has an opinion or two about Texas football. And in typical Terry Bradshaw fashion, he had no problem sharing today that the 70-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback does not think Sam Ellinger of Texas is very good. Here is that audio.
That audio.
I never understood why players would want to go and stack up. Like Texas, we open up with Texas this year. And one year they signed 3 5A quarterbacks. Two are now gone. And one that's playing, ain't that good. And I'm like, really? 5A? You watch them throw the football and you go, man, alive. What are they? Like they go there and they can't throw the football. I'll take our boys any day.
Terry Bradshaw.
Where'd Terry go to school?
Louisiana Tech. Lafayette or something.
Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
Exactly. Here's my question, Chris. Does Terry Bradshaw sound like a crazy old man in this clip?
I'm going to start taking pictures of Chris's face.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I don't know. Terry Bradshaw's been hit in the head a few times.
I think
that's fair to say, but I what I don't understand is why everyone and their mother is picking on this Sam Ellinger.
What did he do? Was he talking or something? Like
Probably. Baker Mayfield went out of his way to destroy this kid. Now Terry Bradshaw, because I guess Louisiana Tech plays Texas.
Yes,
so
season.
He's going out of his way to destroy this kid. I'm hoping Sam Ellinger wins the
Heisman
Trophy this year and goes on to riches and greatness. I don't really understand why everybody's ripping on this kid so much.
What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I'm with Chris on this. I'm at a loss for why people are going at this guy's head like this. I can maybe give Bradshaw a pass here because it sounds like he's talking to some alum. You know, when he's saying our boys, he's talking about, it seems like, his alum playing against him. I'm assuming they're playing against him.
I guess so.
I can maybe give him a pass, but Terry's got a long history of yakking it about all kinds of different things.
Do you know who Hollywood Henderson is?
Yes.
The former Dallas Cowboy linebacker.
Harry and the Hendersons?
No, his name is Thomas Hollywood Henderson.
You're such a ridiculous.
Anyway, I'm bringing it up because he had the greatest line of all time about Terry Bradshaw, and it needs to be said right now.
Hit us with it.
Terry Bradshaw is so dumb that he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the A. That covers it.
All right, let's move on. Let's end right there.
Hot lava fire.
That was great.
Number two.
The NL West may say goodbye to one of the division's best pitchers, Giants star Madison Bumgarner. MLB Network's John Heyman and Radio.com Insider, who'll be on the show later today at 6:30, reports that the Yankees are split on Bumgarner's value. According to Heyman, the team's decision comes down to whether or not they think he can regain playoff form for them to go after and trade them. So, Tony, do you think Madison Bumgarner will regain playoff form if they do trade for him, or if any team trades for him?
I get the feeling Madison is as much as he's kind of dropped off, I get the feeling if you get him in the playoff in the postseason that you could get that back. Maybe not the velocity that he had, but one of the things that made Bumgarner so good in the playoff was his tenacity. Like, he was not afraid of the moment, and he made pitches when he had to. I think you could still get that guy. I honestly think the regular season is very boring to Madison Bumgarner. Like I think especially this year.
Right?
He's been playing on bad teams for the last few years, and I just feel like you get him in the right environment, especially the Yankee environment. You got a guy like CeCe Sabathia over there already. I think he'll eat that up.
Fire him up.
I think that he'll eat that up.
Chris, what do you think?
I would certainly want to kick the tires on Madison Bumgarner, but I'd have to do a little research in terms of, you know, the radar gun and what he's really doing, because there's no way anybody's ever going to get the 2014 Madison Bumgarner again.
He believes
he is. I don't think that's possible. The year that he had in those playoffs in 2014, when he just shut down the Cardinals and the NLCS, destroyed the Royals in the World Series, had a 0. some odd ERA, won 16 games in the post. I mean, you know, this is not likely to ever happen again. And I think that a lot of teams thinking of trading for Madison Bumgarner think, well, if I get to the postseason, he'll pitch like that. I don't think he can pitch that good again. I just think it's not possible.
The reality is, even if he was the same Madison Bumgarner, it'd be very difficult to repeat that type of performance.
Exactly. I mean, that performance was so off the charts. That's what I think people are looking at, and I don't think they're going to get that with Madison Bumgarner. I'm sure they're not.
Number one.
Saints backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater has made it back from a potential career-ending knee injury to be the understudy of Drew Brees. He actually did have the option to leave and go elsewhere and try to become a starter, but he chose to sit behind he decided to sit behind him to learn a little bit. He said, quote, "This is an opportunity for me to grow, continue to learn, and expand my mental capacity as a football player." Bridgewater is 26, and Drew Brees is going to end up retiring at some point. So, Chris, do you think this is the right move for Teddy Bridgewater?
I guess it is, because he made the decision to do it. So I'm not going to tell Teddy Bridgewater he made the wrong decision. He's got to do what he feels is best. But I know for a fact the Dolphins would have given him the starting quarterback job. Yeah. Now, I don't blame him for not wanting it necessarily. But you would think most guys worth their salt would take a starting job at quarterback over a sitting on the bench backup. But maybe this is just what Teddy Bridgewater needs to do for himself. So I think it's a little bit out of my line here to tell him he made the wrong decision, but it's probably not the same one I would have made.
Tony, what do you think?
I think I don't know if he made the right decision or not. If he thinks he made the right decision for him, I just think it was probably a difficult decision, right? Knowing you'll have an opportunity to start in one place, and knowing you're going to have to sit behind one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it until he's ready to retire. You know, Bridgewater's been through a lot, man. He was a starter, broke his leg, and they thought he would never play again. So it would have been very easy to take that way and head out that way and become a starter in Miami, as Chris said, but he chose to learn some more and be behind Drew Brees. I don't personally think he could go wrong either way. So good for him that he made that decision.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I officially now hate all the new opens since you just squeezed that little shot in.
I've been waiting all day to play that.
How does Tony not have to take a bullet?
I'll figure out a place for that.
I'll make sure I'm on top of my game, okay, so you can't get anything.
All right, without further ado, Padres Pen Pals, get started now with Chris's favorite moment of the show. This is still here.
The scribbling.
All right. So Padres Pen Pals is where I go to Facebook and I pose a question to a San Diego Padres Friarhood group. If you want to ask a question, post it into that group, and I will do my best to ask the guys. So first up is Richard Burns, and he is asking you guys, he's talking about Chris Paddock, if his current performance slide continues, 5.4 ERA in his last six starts after 1.55 in his first seven starts, how long until Paddock is shut down or sent to the pen or back to the minors? Chris, let's start with you.
Oh, I think it's quite a long time. I think the 1.09 ERA that he had for the first five or six starts was absurd and way, way too good. And I think the 5.40 we've seen the last four or five starts is absurd and way, way, way too bad. So I think he's going to settle right in there in the middle somewhere. And once he does, he'll be fine. But to answer that question, I think he would need another couple of months of poor pitching before the Padres would change their Chris Paddock plans.
Tony?
Yeah, it'll be a while. I think Chris Paddock has done enough to show him that it's worth the Padres' time. So if he does continue to struggle to help him get fixed, and I don't see him going down anytime soon. And I thought he pitched well his last performance, honestly. I mean, he didn't pitch at the pace that he normally pitches at, but he was equally as effective, I thought. He did a good job, especially for his first time back after being sent down.
All right, to our next pen pal, Alex Juergen. He is asking, and Tony, you're up first, should Cal Quantrill be a starter or reliever? He's always been a starter his entire career. Do you quote-unquote waste a first-rounder on the bullpen?
First of all, that literally happens all the time, where okay. a first-round starting pitcher ends up in the bullpen.
All right.
Just so we're clear. I'm not sure on Cal Quantrill yet. I know the Padres still view him long-term as a starter, but I'm not sure where he fits at this point. There's so many questions when it comes to the starting rotation as far as longevity, who's going to be in the rotation. I think we can all assume Chris Paddock is one. I think we can assume Luke Casey's another one.
Eric Lauer?
I think Eric Lauer can be. He's got to continue to pitch the way he has. But after that, I think Matt Strom, I think although we thought he could be a good starter, and he still could be a good starter, he might be better in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are a lot of open questions as it pertains to the rotation in the future. Right now, I see Cal Quantrill as a starter, but sometimes if you want to stay at the big leagues level,
you do what you got to
fill in where you can.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think Cal Quantrill is a starter or reliever?
I would answer the question the exact same way Tony did, and the only difference is I would throw in the name to Nelson Lamet as another guy that Cal Quantrill is going to have to beat out if he wants to make it into the starting rotation. So I think it's going to be tough for him. I think he's going to have to pitch lights out baseball for a long time to put himself in the mix, because the Padres right now are closing in on having four or five guys already.
All right, let's get to our next pen pal. His name is Joshua Whitaker. And Chris, you're going to be up first here. This was a pretty popular question. Is there any information on an early long-term contract for Tatis Jr.?
Is there any early information?
Yes, but what do you think about the contract situation with Tatis Jr.?
What do I think about it? I haven't thought about it.
Honest, okay.
No, I don't think about contract stuff. I guess he's referring to the fact that the Braves went out and signed Acuna and Albies to long deals and got friendly contracts with those guys. I don't know. Does that mean the Padres can get one with Tatis Jr.? I think they should at least look into it. He's done enough to show that he's going to be here for the foreseeable future and one of the guys, the cornerstones that this franchise builds around. So whatever the organization thinks is best to keep him around the longest, do it.
Tony, what do you think about Tatis Jr. and his contract? I think you've said before there's no way they're going to accept
it. I don't see it happening, but it's anything's possible. But certainly the way he's played this year doesn't help.
he priced himself pretty high.
The price tag, the more he steps on the field, seems like the price tag just keeps going further and further up. And he has not had one slow period yet. I think there might have been one game. I feel like he went 0-for-4 and maybe went 0-for-2 the first two at bats and then had two hits that day.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been a lull yet. And the longer he's out there playing, the more that price tag is going to keep going up.
All right, last one for today is from Alex Peters. Not a baseball question, but there's a lot of likes on this comment, so I decided to ask you guys. Tony, what did you think of last night's Democratic debate?
I didn't even watch it, to be honest with you.
Neither did I.
I couldn't tell you.
Did you watch it, Chris?
What?
The Democratic debate, did you watch it?
Are any debates Democratic?
What?
I'm just trying to throw you for a
screen. You got him.
I got him. No, I didn't watch any of it, and I don't plan on watching any of it tonight unless it was over last night.
There's actually back-to-back two.
So it, there's been two nights of it already?
There's going to be one tonight.
Yeah, one tonight and one last night.
My wonderful wife, Lori, said, hey, we missed the debate last night. Let's make sure we watch it tonight, as in tonight.
Yeah.
I'm hoping she forgot that she mentioned that, because I could care less.
All right. All right. Thank you to all our pen pallers. There's a lot today. I appreciate it. Keep commenting. Thank you to Richard, Alex, Joshua, and then Alex again, Alex Peters.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're here for another half hour and wrapping up the show in style. Joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Radio.com's baseball sports insider John Heyman joins Gwen and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. John, how you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. I guess kind of a general question to start out, and your thoughts on the Padres and whether they're buyers or sellers at the deadline. Or whether or not it's okay to be neither thing at the deadline if you're the Padres.
Yeah, I think they're taking a nice step forward this year. I don't think they're contenders. They're in that middle group where you'll probably have to wait and see what they do. They could go either way. I kind of think they probably should sell. While they're contenders, I don't see them as a likely World Series team this year. Obviously, tough division. You can't win it with the Dodgers in it right now the way they are, certainly. They're taking a nice step. Tatis is a star. Machado's done basically what you would expect. Their pitching looks a little bit better than it's been. They have a nice team, probably a year away or so. But potential there, and Gore looks fantastic in the minors this year. So I think they will have a nice rotation. But in a couple of years.
John, you mentioned the Padres possibly being sellers, and one of the, I think, rumors that has freaked out San Diegans here recently is Kirby Yates possibly being one of those pieces that they sell. How likely do you think that is? He just seems like a really good fit for this organization. But as you said, the Padres aren't contenders, there's plenty of reason to give up a quality closer like Kirby Yates.
Yeah, I think Kirby Yates is going to be very valuable to a lot of teams. So, to me, it's logical that they should be able to get a lot for him. They certainly will set a very high price tag, and they can hold on to him if they have to. He's not a free agent after the year, so he certainly has value to them going forward, and they're not that far away. So, right. I think it would take a haul. I would say that I don't really expect them to trade him, but if they are blown away, his value is going to be greater to a team that's a World Series contender this year. And I'm not going to rule out that they might take another step forward because they're a young team. And, maybe they will end up being buyers. They are in that middle group. There are about a dozen teams in that middle group, and they are in the middle group right now. But to me, it's logical to trade a closer if you don't feel like you're going to win the World Series.
John Heyman, Radio.com, baseball insider, joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. John, one more question on the Padres, at least for me. An interesting thing's kind of developed in the last, week or so, but Will Myers, who's the highly paid free agent they got a few years ago, has kind of found himself lacking for playing time. And they got Margot. They're going to maybe have Jankowski come back. They've got Reyes and Renfro on the corners right now. What would you do if you were the Padres with Will Myers when you've got yourself a guy with such a high price contract? It's hard to trade him. And at the same time, you don't want to completely give up on him. So where do you go?
Yeah, you probably just have to pick and choose your spots. I don't think it's a great policy to just give the guy a job if he isn't up to it at the moment. If you've got better options, you're going to have to put him on the bench and find good spots, and hopefully he'll get hot and maybe raise his trade value at some point. But right now he is not tradable, as you guys said. That seems to be pretty clear.
John, from on to the trade deadline. Obviously, we're still about a month away from it. What do you see being, and I've asked a couple different people and gotten different answers, from a position standpoint, where do you think the value is this coming deadline?
For the Padres?
For any team. What is it going to be, relief pitchers that are going to be sought after? Is it going to be starters?
You know, I think, believe it or not, I feel like relievers seem to carry a greater value than starters. Now, some of that has to do with team needs. You know, every team is going to need relievers, you know, at this point. So if you look back recently, the relievers that have been traded have actually brought back more than the starters.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so, but teams seem to really line up for relievers at this point. Obviously, Chapman brought back quite a bit. Gleyber Torres, Andrew Miller brought back quite a bit with Frazier and others going to the Yankees. You know, obviously, Hand being traded, they got Mejia, was the top prospect at the time. So, believe it or not, it seems like relievers have at least as high a value as starters. And right now, you know, there are some decent starters out there, but, you know, there isn't the perfect starter. Max Scherzer is not getting traded. They just can't do it. They're not going to do it. So, that's not happening. So, I mean, Madison Bumgarner, the greatest postseason pitcher we've ever known, but he's basically just been average this year, and the analytics aren't going to point to him. So you've got him. You've got Boyd, which I don't know that Detroit's going to trade him. He looks good. He's striking out a lot. He doesn't walk many. Solid pitcher, but he's not a superstar. And, you know, you've got potential of Wheeler. You've got maybe Bauer, which would be something. I think it's going to be hard for Cleveland to thread that needle and make that trade. I don't think Mike Minor is being traded. So I think it's going to be a seller's market, and I think you know, they're going to ask for a lot for Stroman and Madbum and Boyd, the guys that are most likely to be traded, I guess. But I do think the relievers bring back the most. If you trade a Yates or somebody who's been a fantastic reliever, you should be able to get a haul for him, just like they did for Chapman and Miller in past years.
John Heyman is with us talking some baseball here as we head into the All-Star break. You mentioned Fernando Tatis Jr. I have all the stats in front of you. He missed a month. That seems to be the only thing that is keeping people from thinking that Fernando Tatis Jr. should be an All-Star this year for the Padres. What do you think, John? Do you think he's got a shot at it? Will the Padres get more than one guy? Or is it just too much to deal with in the National League right now?
Yeah, I'd have to look and see exactly how many players they've got to work with. Obviously, he's played like an all-star in the time that he's played. He did miss significant time. I mean, Yates, to me, is an automatic. He's been the best reliever in the league. So they got their one. I think that's the question. Are they going to get two with Tatis? I mean, at this point, I would lean yes for him because I think he's been absolutely fantastic in the time that he has been out there. So my opinion would be that he deserves to be there.
Sweet. All right. Well, we're going to let you choose the reserves then, John.
<'Cause> we can't I don't think they're going to let me do that. I mean, it's nice that you let me do that, but they're not
going to
let
you. Really quick, we're watching the Dodgers run away with the division. They've been to two straight World Series. Is there anything different that we should believe about the Dodgers this time around going into the postseason? Because we know where they're going to be there. Or is it possible that they let everybody down again?
It's possible to let everybody down again. You never know what could happen when the postseason comes up. They look a little bit stronger with Ryu having the year that he's having. Kershaw has been basically the same he's been the last few years, maybe not the Cy Young winner he was not that long ago, but Ryu is probably going to win the Cy Young. Bueller, overwhelming fastball. Gives them an incredible top three. And Bellinger is a superstar at this point. They've got the depth. I mean, to me, they're the favorite. I picked them, and I feel like they should win. But, you know, I've picked them in the past, and they've let me down pretty consistently, I have to say.
Pretty consistent is right. That's the one thing we can hang our hat on here in San Diego is that
yes.
The Dodgers may let everybody down. Hey, John, didn't let us down at all. We appreciate all the baseball knowledge and insight. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
we'll talk
John.
To you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. See you later.
Great having him, John Heyman, on there, baseball insider for radio.com on the SDCCU fan hotline. You can vote SDCCU best credit union in the UT readers poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big bank banking. Better.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's going to be a tough one.
To make the toughest choices in sports, Would You Rather has begun on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Will Galvez is a, he's our Fernando Tatis Jr. around here.
Wait a second.
He's young, up and coming, he's going to be a superstar one day.
That made Scraby immediately jealous.
Yeah, what the heck?
He's already mad.
I want to be Tatis. Look at my hair. It's like his.
Stop being a hater.
Okay.
Look at my hair.
Got the gold locks flowing over here.
What?
I got the gold blocks flowing.
Can I get a... I don't know what's going on in my mouth right now.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now.
Scraby, you are the next Al Roker.
Oh, my goodness.
Oof.
You just... Those are fighting words.
his whole cool just left his mind.
Nobody can touch the weather report the way you can.
I just had to Google who he was.
Al Roker.
You know who Al is?
I didn't know.
Today's Show for like the last 25 years, but Al Roker is annoying person on Today's Show.
He is not.
Yes,
number
he is.
One. Number two, I just made you a national celebrity. I don't think that's a put down in any way, shape, or form.
Al Roker was a Dave Chappelle skit.
Yeah, you don't want to be that. You don't want to be that. Al Roker went to the White House and he soiled himself at the White House.
Get out of here!
And that's a true story.
Give me a break. You saw
it? No, he admitted it.
You don't know that.
He admitted it.
Al Roker was the subject of a Seinfeld episode. I mean, he's very
cool. That's legendary stuff.
Legendary.
No one wants to be Al Roker. I mean, I'll take his paycheck, but no one else wants to be Al Roker.
If he ever hears your weather report, too bad, man. You're headed for greatness.
Really cool.
All right, Will.
All right.
Take over, my friend.
Kemba Walker is favored to sign with the Boston Celtics. That was reported this earlier by via Wojbomb. So, Tony, I'll let you lead off this one. Do you want to see Rob Pelinka, or would you rather see Rob Pelinka sign D'Angelo Russell or Kyrie Irving? As a point guard.
You're saying Kemba Walker's out of the running.
Kemba Walker's out of the running because okay.
I obviously think Kyrie's the better player. I'm going to say that up front. But I'm going to take D'Angelo Russell. He's 23.
A reunion.
I am. Listen, the 5 years, even though it's only five for Lakers of misery, was enough for me. I don't need to go back down that black hole of losing again. So... when LeBron decides to retire, I need to make sure the staple is filled with some ballers. D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Davis, I can work with that. Just younger. Younger and it's going to last longer, hopefully. Everybody says healthy.
Like 23.
23. Anthony Davis is like 26, 25, 26, something like that.
Chris?
Oh, D'Angelo Russell by a mile. I can't stand Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie Irving's all about Kyrie Irving. He's not who I want to build my franchise around. Once LeBron steps down, I'd like to have D'Angelo Russell in that spot. Not Kyrie Irving. Let him go play for the Nets and score 40 a game and never win a playoff. Because the only reason he's got a ring right now is LBJ, and I know he hit the shot, but LBJ put him in that spot.
He carried him that postseason.
LBJ couldn't do it without him, no.
All right. He couldn't? Did he win one in Miami without
him? I'm talking about specifically against Golden State.
All right.
So the All-Star lineups, we did it earlier. They have been, the starters were announced. And we all are cheering for, you know, our own guys to get there. Kirby Yates, we could see as a possible favorite. But it would also be awesome to see Fernando Tatis Jr. hopefully get some playing time. Or maybe even Franmil Reyes or Hunter Renfroe in the Home Run Derby. So, Chris, would you rather see a Padre win the Home Run Derby or All-Star Game MVP?
Normally, I'd be about the game over the competition. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's just an exhibition game. And the All-Star Game, honestly, MVP goes to one guy who hits a home run at a key spot in the third or fourth inning. But to win the Home Run Derby is, I think, a kind of a cooler achievement. And I think if Franmil Reyes were to be in the Home Run Derby, it's the only thing that would make me watch it. And I'd be ecstatic to see somebody like that walk out of there with a trophy like that. So I'm going to say Padre win the Home Run Derby over All-Star Game MVP.
Hopefully showcase that personality. Tony, what about you?
MVP. And here's why. I have a theory that you have to be the right kind of swinger to have to play in that Home Run Derby. Prince Fielder fit that perfectly. Like, he always swung hard. So getting in that derby wouldn't affect him. Like, we've seen it affect many, many guys after they come out of it.
That's true.
And I...
So you just assume have no Padres be in it then?
I mean, I would want them to be in it. But if they do well and they have to go round after round swinging like that, because the guys we're talking about, maybe Hunter fits that mold a little bit, but Franmil doesn't. Franmil doesn't, like, swing as hard as he possibly can all the time. And so I think he would have to alter it a little bit. Or in some cases, guys don't mean to alter, but they're trying to put on a show. And I would hate to see either one of those guys go into a slump afterwards because of it. You know what I'm saying? So I'd take the MVP because that's within the realm of the game. You got to do the same stuff you do during the regular season.
Yeah, we saw that with Aaron Judge a couple years ago. He was on...
We saw it so much that guys are afraid to do it. That's part of the reason why guys are afraid to do it.
That's crazy how much it throws them off. Like,
it's listen, when you're up there trying to hit home runs, and you're trying to hit them far, there's a game to it. You're trying to put on a show.
The crowd.
You can end up altering your swing and not even necessarily noticing it. You know.
All right, one home run derby, the other an All-Star Game MVP.
Prince Fielder, by the way, also did win an All-Star Game MVP.
Yeah, in Arizona.
Yeah.
Anyway. Won two home run derby championships, too.
There you go.
We'll end on this one. Alvin Kamara declined to remove his nose ring despite some pre-draft advice from a team representative before he was drafted. Things have worked out pretty well for the former Volunteer as he heads into his third season with the Saints. So, Chris, would you rather have Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey as your starting back for the next 5 years?
Does Christian McCaffrey have a nose ring?
He has earrings. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
He does.
And a tattoo.
I think he has earrings in his ear.
He does, yeah. But no nose ring.
I have no idea, and it doesn't matter. that's a tough question. They're both pretty good. I mean, they're both really good.
They both kind of do the same thing, too.
I really wouldn't mind having either one of them. I mean, I'd take them over anybody that suited up in aqua and orange for the last 30 years. Miami hasn't had a good running back since, like, Larry Zonka.
Ricky did pretty good.
Ricky
for him.
Was all right. It's all right. I'll take McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey.
I think I'm taking McCaffrey, too.
Close.
Only because my reasoning is he just seems like a bigger body. I don't know, like, frame-wise.
Have you seen how he looks now? Like, I think they're the same height.
They
though.
Might. I'm not talking about height. I'm just talking about like build.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I feel like he's just a little bit wider. Kamara seems to me like to be like the Corvette.
He just has to take off. There's no
right. But he delivers some sock too when he's running that ball. So, like Chris said, you can't really go wrong either way. I'm only picking McCaffrey because I feel like he lasts longer.
I'll take Kenyon Drake, the guy who finished off the Miami Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Is that still your screensaver?
Maybe.
Maybe.
All right, that's it for Would You Rather.
For Would You Rather on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.